We're coming to the final part of our meeting, and we're going to start the IFRS Foundation due process handbook. I give the floor to Sam.
Thank you very much, Hans. Good afternoon, everybody. As mentioned, in this session, we'll discuss Agenda Paper 7 on the due process handbook review. The purpose of this session is to provide ASAF members with an update on the progress made so far and to seek ASAF members' views on the scope of the review. For additional information, the paper discussed by the Due Process Oversight Committee, the DPOC, at its January 2018 meeting is attached as an appendix. The DPOC at that meeting provisionally agreed the scope and timetable of the Due Process Handbook review with two caveats. The first being that the proposed comment letter period could be reduced from 180 to 120 days, and the second being that matters addressed in that paper do not amount to an exhaustive list that will be addressed in the forthcoming review. This is as with staff consulting further on the areas identified, it is envisaged that further considerations will arise. Seeking ASAF members' views at this session forms part of that consultation and will help to inform the discussions with the DPOC in June and throughout the process of the review. The scope, as agreed by the DPOC, is outlined on pages 2 and 3 of Agenda Paper 7. Following the DPOC meeting in January, the staff have consulted with the IFRS Foundation Monitoring Board, followed the discussions on the use of the effects analysis by the Advisory Council at its February 2018 meeting. The developments in the role of effects analysis are a key aspect of the due process handbook review. We've had initial discussions with the board, and additionally, we have already formed an internal group of senior staff to consider the proposed changes to the due process handbook. Following the input received from ASAF members today, the staff will update the DPOC at its meeting in June. We will also update the monitoring board at its joint meeting with the trustees in June, and seek the advice of the Advisory Council at its meeting in September, and also consult with the Interpretations Committee, its meeting also being held in September of this year, at its meeting in September this year. The questions that we would like ASAP members to consider today are outlined on page 1 of Agenda Paper 7, and they ask if ASAP members have any comments on the proposed scope of the due process handbook review, and or considering current due process requirements, are there any specific areas that are not part of the proposed scope of the due process handbook review which you consider should be? And with that, I will hand it over to discussion.
Andreas.
I have a comment on your second question. The due process handbook describes very elegantly and I think comprehensively the steps that the board needs to undergo when developing guidance. What I think is missing is an elaboration what happens if at any stage you break the process. So, for instance, if you decide on a research proposal to abandon the research, or if on an amendment project you decide to amend not to amend something, then the question is, okay, what does that mean? I trust that you have your good reasons why you do it, but obviously if, let's say, you undertook a project in order to reduce uncertainty and now you break the project, obviously the uncertainty is still there, and the question is, what does that mean in terms of consistent application, in terms of potentially national standard setters stepping in, things like that. And so the due process handbook has a good elaboration on the positive aspect of the process, but it falls short in saying, okay, what happens if we don't accomplish any of our steps that we do? And that might be an area that you would want to consider.
Interesting. Noble.
Yes, thank you. We think the status of the basis for conclusion should be discussed. And in particular, we think the contents of the basis for conclusion should be discussed in public meetings. And while we understand that the current due process handbook says that the basis for conclusions does not form an integral part of the standard, the basis for conclusion does affect practice. And therefore, we believe that the basis for conclusion should go through the same due process as an IFRS standard. And we also think that the due process handbook should provide guidance on what should go into the main standard and what should go into the basis, and that is very unclear.
Linda.
Thank you. So we think the handbook and the process that you follow is very important from a Canadian perspective. As we go through our own endorsement process, the last step, as the board members are balloting for inclusion in our handbook, there are two sections they need to fill out. One is they understood the what due process activities were undertaken by this board, and they pay attention to the conclusion reached by the due process oversight committee. And so they have to sign off that they're comfortable with that, and then we also look at our own activities and our outreach activities, including any comments that Canadians made in their comment letters and whether or not we're satisfied. So there's a formal piece that actually places reliance on your due process, and so we think the due process handbook's important. We actually just redid ours, and one of the things we did is we chose strategically to take a communications perspective as well as, you know, a formal due process perspective, and we included in it. It's in the final stages of translation, so it's not on the website yet. But we included some visuals and charts in it because what we learned
is that your whole due process.
Yeah, it is. We short.
It's very attractive.
Just need to change the colours and we're there.
It's half a battle.
That's my outfit.
Very inspiring.
Take
care of Noble's suggestion.
Okay, we shortened it by about a third or more.
Yeah.
But we thought that it was important not only that the board had clarity around the steps and followed them, but that our stakeholders understood what due process we were following, and it took us a long time to get these charts and visuals, but we found that those were a key element in communicating the steps and how we interacted in between the steps, et cetera. So, as I said, I just was told that it should be on our website by Friday. So all of that, we support the work that you're doing relative to the interaction between the board and IFRIC, and we know that's been a bit of a frustration for you, so we think that's important. And we also support the fact that you're going to take a look at what happens when there's going to be an anonymous complaint. One of the things that we observed in our region was people were trying to understand what happens when there is an anonymous complaint. So that was the subject of a phone call I had calling our trustee saying, okay, Sheila, what happens when you get this and what do you do and yada, yada. And the end result of those discussions with our stakeholders was that perhaps when there is an anonymous complaint, and it's difficult because it's anonymous, but whatever, is that somebody knows who it came from and that perhaps if others may have a view on the particular issue that the trustees may want to get that information. So I promised that I would pass that along. It would make it seem more transparent, okay? But all said, we like the list of activities that you have. We think they're complete as far as we can tell, and again, ours will be posted by the end of this week, and we're happy to talk about how we landed on our conclusions.
Richard, do you think you can bring it down to that volume?
I think we just have to change the colors on the page, and we're there. We have talked internally and with the committee about the importance of providing more charts, more flows, because it's not always obvious. I mean, the steps are all in the handbook. It's not always obvious when you've hit each step. So if you've got charts.
Well, I will add that in our previous iteration, sometimes the wording was so confusing that the board sat there and said, well, does that mean we have to do this or we have to do that?
Yeah,
and
yeah.
So one of the things we tried to do in this latest overhaul is get, you know, pretty good clarity. And on the one thing we did is in terms of your comment about breaking, is we put a section in that says if the board elects not to do this, they have to report to their oversight council, they have to do this like that. So we tried to give transparency around exception conditions and the reporting we needed to do.
That's interesting.
So it's something for you to consider.
Thank you. Cédric.
Thank you, Hans. Well, we appreciate the exercise and the scope that is suggested to date for the due process handbook, especially in three areas, the interaction between the board and the AFRS IC. I think it's it has been a matter of some discussion, maybe since we study that more deeply with our working group in France, but we understand that there are some specificities depending on whether the standard is already applicable or not. And then they decide. There have been many discussions recently, and I think it's a very important point. Second point is effect analysis. Of course, it's also a matter that is very important for us in at the EFRAG, and in France also we try to provide an impact assessment. And finally, on all the what I would call the soft standardization that is provided. By that I mean all the standards which are not endorsed, which is not endorsed actually in Europe, which is also a matter of concern at European level. But what all the guidance, because you have developed many different ways of providing guidance on IFRS through the basis for conclusion, the taxonomy, the agenda decision, TRG, and many webinars and so on. So it's really an important source for us because, of course, from an IFRS point of view, it's something which is not mandatory, but it very quickly becomes mandatory for the preparers, finally. And we have to... I am pretty aware that it's an issue which is addressed under the amendment of IS 8, but there are also many other different kinds of guidance that that becomes, and I think Nobu mentioned previously the status of some basis for conclusion, and they become very quickly also a kind of standard, and therefore it's a very important issue.
Thanks, Hans. Thanks. In terms of the proposed scope of the PH review, most of AOSSG members agree with the proposed scope. And AOSSG would like to suggest that priority should be given to implementation activities and the publication of education materials, since ensuring the consistent application of IFRS is regarded as an important role of the ISB in the future. Publication of education material is a very effective way of achieving the consistent application of the standard. And in order the education materials to function in practices, they need an active involvement from the ISB, not just from the education initiative. And about with regard to the second question, and some AOSSG member suggest that the cooperation with the NSS, National Standard Setters, should be considered in more arrears in the due process handbook. Currently, roles of NSS are stated in sessions of consultation, research program, identification of implementation issues, and translation. In other areas, such as effect analysis and the development of education material, the role of NSS is crucial, considering that the jurisdictions are all in different stages of financial market development and with different ability of application of IFRS. So with the result in effective of new IFRS being different and necessary of different level of education material. Also, one member prefer if ISB desist from indefinitely deferring the effective date of amendments of two standards as it poses difficulty for jurisdictions with different legal system. And another AOSSG member notes that ISB is proposing to amend IS 8 to lower the applicability threshold regarding retrospective application of volunteer changes in accounting policies that result from agenda decisions. So in this regard, this member recommends that ISB maybe need to consider the paragraph 5.22 of DHP should be amended to reflect this proposal. That's all. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
No, for Alberto, sorry.
We would suggest to introduce maybe a simplified form, but due process for the IFRS Interpretation Committee rejections.
Okay.
What in particular? So at the moment there's a 60
At the moment the tentative agenda decision is exposed for 60 days.
Would you want a shorter period?
Is that enough? I mean,
so you wanted more, a longer period?
Well,
I wasn't sure I understood your comment. I'm just checking.
Basis for conclusion, for instance, more developed, more upheld analysis of the comments received, and possibility to avoid wording such as "it's clear." It has nothing to do because it's clear. Because
we never say that. We don't, though. We're very, very careful never to use those words.
That can create the problems, because if the standard is clear, the submitter has made a mistake. Yeah. I made a mistake, I say, okay, blah, blah, blah. So it's...
Russ?
So I think your due process is robust and rigorous, and you should take credit and feel like it's a substantive process. When I look at the scope of the review, the only observation I have at a macro level is there's only one item here where it appears to be a way to shorten your process or make your process more efficient. You have done a lot over since I've been coming to London to make your process more open, more transparent, and better. But it also makes it longer. And the longer it...
There are some suggestions that might make it even...
even longer. And the longer it takes, the less opportunity you have to actually make improvements. So I just... I don't know if that's subject, but the only thing that you're ever looking here about making it shorter is related to using technology for the comment letter process. We've recently done something like that. Be happy to share with your ideas. It has to do... We've basically taken a relationship database software and implemented it so we can get better information and track comment letters and do searches. But there may be other things that you could do that will continue to be open and transparent, but it could make your process more efficient.
Your process is, as far as you can see, quite a bit shorter, or
it is
a less complicated system, but...
No, it's still very long, and we're constantly looking at ways to take costs out of the system to make it more efficient. But I just try to make it a little more balanced, because otherwise, you just continue to add. You're going to be talking 15 years or so to do things, and
that would be better.
Yeah, that is what I am a bit concerned about, Nobu, when I hear a suggestion like yours. Yeah, it's all fine, but... And it's ultimately the standards that say what they say. Okay. Thank you very much.